We're in the process of introducing the 13 principles. The Rambam had discussed that the general promises of good that will be in the world to come are a good that's spiritual good, and when the Torah says if one does bad then he will be cut off, it means cut off from what's good spiritually in the world to come. And the promises that the Torah gives us, that if we perform mitzvot, then God will give us sustenance, people won't be hungry, people won't be ill, there won't be war. So the Rambam said that what the Torah is really saying is that if you perform the Torah, I'll help you perform the Torah. I'll give you the material needs that you need in order to perform the Torah. So you need to have a certain amount of peace in order to be able to perform the Torah well. You need to have a certain amount of parnasa. So the Rambam said those promises are referring to the fact that if you keep the Torah, God says, success, I'll help you keep the Torah. And if a person goes in a route where he's focused on the physical and he's not interested in keeping the Torah, so God says, okay, so then I'll take away the physical benefits that he needs in order to keep the Torah, because that's not what he's interested in doing. Aval Gan Eden, we're holding page Kuf Lametes in Rav Kapach's edition of the Rambam, the right-hand column, the second paragraph. Aval Gan Eden. What the Rambam discussed until now was the world to come. Now the Rambam is saying the Rambam had said that the world to come, really, we don't know it's going to be there. We know it's spiritual good, but we don't know what it's going to be. Aval Gan Eden, when we speak about the Garden of Eden, hum makom dashen bekadur haaretz. That's a place that flourishes here on planet Earth. Merubim ba meimot va'ilanot. There's a lot of water. There's a lot of pleasant trees. Yigaleu Hashem libnei Adam ba'atid. In the future, God will reveal to us where the Garden of Eden is. V'yoreh lehem et darko. And God will give them directions how to get there. V'yitanhu bo. And they will derive pleasure in this Garden of Eden. Ulai imtzu bo tzmachim niflaim meod shetualtam gdola. Possibly they will find their amazing plants that give good benefit. Vanatam meruba zulat elu haidim tzen. Maybe they'll find plants, vegetation growing there that give us benefits beyond what we're familiar with. Mechol ze bilti nimna v'lo rachok. This isn't impossible and it's not even improbable, says the Rambam. Elef sharuto krova, but it's feasible. V'afilu ilu lo hizkarto Torah. Even if the Torah wouldn't mention it, it would be feasible that God would reveal to us a place where we could derive benefit that we're not familiar with. Maybe there's some island out there which is the Garden of Eden. We don't know. Somewhere on planet Earth, says the Rambam, is the Garden of Eden. Kol shekin achas nidbar kol ze b'Torah v'nitpasem. Certainly after the Torah revealed to us that such a place exists. So there is such a place on planet Earth called the Garden of Eden, says the Rambam. Aval geinom, but when we speak about perdition, hu kinui letzar she'asik tarshayim, that is a nickname for the pain, the affliction that will come to those that are evil. V'lo nidbar b'Talmud tiur oto atzar. And in the Talmud, we don't have an explanation what is that affliction. Some say that the sun comes close to them and burns them. The lomed mimah she'nemar, and he derives it from the verse that says, "Ki hineh yom ba boer katanur," a day is coming where God will have it burn like a furnace. Ve'yesh umrim chom muzar yivatzer b'gufam yisafem, and some say some strange heat will develop within and burn them. He derives it from a different verse. So the Rambam says in one paragraph, Garden of Eden is here on earth. The simple understanding that we read when we read the book of Bereshit, there was a garden, they were inside, they were chased out of the garden, and they entered planet earth the way we know it, like a simple understanding. Now the Rambam has not dealt with sources that seem to indicate otherwise. The Gemara says there's a Gan, and there's an Eden, and there's the world. Eden is like the windowsill. So the Gemara says, this world is 1/60th of the windowsill, of the Eden. And the Eden, the windowsill, is 1/60th of the Gan, of this garden. So you have a garden which is 3,600 the times of this world. So what do you do with that Gemara? The Rambam didn't deal with that Gemara. At least here the Rambam didn't deal with it. So after we finish reading the Rambam about what is Tchiyat HaMitim, what is Gan Eden, what is Olam Haba, what is Yimot HaMashiach, then we might take one session to look a little bit at other sources in the Rambam, see if the Rambam gives us a little bit more understanding. But right now, the simple reading, what the Rambam told us here is, there's some place, probably out in Africa, I don't know, it's a guess, but some place that has luscious fruits and luscious trees growing, and it's very good, and that's called the Garden of Eden, and one day God will reveal to us how to get there. That's what we just read over here. As much as the Rambam said, Olam Haba is nothing physical, when the Rambam discusses Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, the Rambam says it's physical, it's here, it's on planet Earth. We don't know where it is, things are good there, we don't know exactly what plants are growing there, we don't know, but we know it exists. Yeah.
You can talk about predicament and you go, what would be the Hebrew? Are we talking Genghidom or is it?
Yeah, you know.
It doesn't describe the Talmud, but that's the Talmud. I mean, I know that you take them not literally, but I don't like that you're boiling in like different. Or that's not about the
Midrash. So, say that. We also have a Midrash, which is unclear whether the Rambam had, called Masech Genghidom. All of us are going to be there. People are being hung from their eyeballs and all these other things. It's interesting that the Rambam spent a lot of time on Olam Haba and a lot of time introducing what he's going to talk about, and then when it comes to the bottom line, in one paragraph, we finish about Gan Eden and Gehenna. And the Rambam only quoted one source, like you mentioned, there are other sources that discuss it. I don't know what to do with that. The Tchiyat HaMitim. We know that the dead are going to come back. So that is Yisod Misodot Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. That, the Rambam says, is a tenet that we have from the Torah of Moshe. En dat ve'en kesher im ha'umah yehudit l'mi she'eino ma'amin dekach. If one does not believe in the fact that the dead are going to come back to life, then he is not part of the religion. He has no connection to the Jewish religion. Ela Shehil Tzadikim. The only point, says the Rambam, is that we have a tradition that the dead are going to come back, but only the righteous dead. The Roshon Bereshit Rabba, and the Rambam's quoting from Midrash, Gvurat Kshamim Tzadikim V'Larsha'im V'Tchiyat Amitim Tzadikim Bilvad. When it rains strongly, so everyone gains. Anyone who has a field gains. There's rain. But when it comes to bringing the dead back alive, so that, God says, that's different. That's not like the rain. It's not going to be like the natural phenomenon that we see in this world. In this world, we see when it rains, everyone's crops grow better. We all enjoy the good food in the marketplace. You guys will notice here in Israel, if it doesn't rain well, you see it in the tomatoes you buy. After it rains, give 2 weeks, you'll come to the market and you'll see the tomatoes are all covered with mud. Because you see the effect. I mean, we're getting the fruit straight from the vine. So the Rambam is quoting the Medrash that says when it rains, so everyone either gains or loses depending on how much rain there is. But that's not what's going to be when there's Tchiyat HaMitim, when there's the resurrection of the dead. So that's only for the tzaddikim. Ve'ech yichyu arshayim ve'hem mitim afilu b'chayim. How could the wicked be brought back to life even during their lifetime? They're considered dead. That's a concept that the Gemara often discusses. That the tzaddikim, even when they're dead, they're considered alive. And the Rishon, even when they're alive, they're considered dead. The Rishon, their actions are all to bring life to an end. They're doing things that are evil, they're harming people, so they're considered that even the life that God gave them is considered death. And the tzaddikim, so they're constantly trying to help people live, to get the most out of life. They learn Torah, they teach Torah, they teach good things, they do good things, and their actions live beyond their own lifetime, and that's why they're considered alive even after they're dead. And that's what the Rambam is quoting here, that our sages said, the wicked, even during their lifetime, they're considered dead, and the righteous, even when they're dead, they're considered alive. But no, says the Rambam, that when a person dies, he dies a finite death. And he is detached from the physical that he was created with. So a person was created, we have a body, but when we die, that's it, we leave the body. the neshama remains, but the body decomposes and they detach. How will the person return? Notice the Rambam did not address all the questions he said people are interested in. Remember in the Rambam's introduction, the Rambam said people are curious, will people come back with clothes, without clothes, will they be married to the same person, not married to the same person? The Rambam said that's not so important. Let's understand what is the concept of Tchiyas HaNeisim. So now the Rambam really just deals with the source. What is Tchiyas HaNeisim? He says, bottom line, the dead will return. He doesn't tell us whether they'll return with clothing, without clothing, they'll look the same, they'll look different, what a bunch of skeletons walking around or not. The Rambam doesn't deal with that because he had said that's not important. People are curious about it, but that's not important. Yeah.
Does he ever deal with why people would want to come back? Like, it would seem to me that, like, if you marry Olam Haba, you wouldn't necessarily want to come back to Olam Haba.
So that, we will, there's not him deal with, if you remind me, there's a Mishnah that says, a period of time in this world where one is performing good actions is better than all of the world to come. So that needs to be defined, because the next line in the Mishnah says that a period of time in the world to come and the pleasures of the world to come is better than all of this world. So how do you balance those two statements? So that, God willing, when we get that Mishnah and Pirkei Avot, after we finish the Shmonah Pakim, we'll get to Pirkei Avot. On our Thursday night, we'll get to that also. But the truth is, let's finish what the Rambam's telling us, because after we get a broader picture, we'll have to analyze all of it together. So how does all of this work? Aval yimot haMashiach, but the days of the Messiah, whose man shebot tachzor malchut liYisrael. What's going to happen when the days of the Messiah comes? The Jews will regain their status of having a monarchy. And the Jews will return to the land of Israel. And that king that will arise, his place, his capital, will be Zion. What is Zion? What is Zion? So we say in benching, we say, Zachem Hashem Elokeinu, have mercy, Hashem our God, Al Yisrael Amecha, on Israel your people, Zal Yerushalayim Yirecha, and on Jerusalem your city, Zal Tzion, and on Zion. Seems like Zion isn't Yerushalayim. What is Zion? So we'll leave that right now as undefined. But it seems to be something in Yerushalayim. We'll see maybe on Sunday in our class in Shmuel. Maybe over there we'll get a chance to address what is Zion, what King David builds. We'll see.
What did Rambam say though about the after the resurrection? Just before what you just said,
The Rambam said that when a person dies, so it is a finite death, and when he'll return, but right now he's dead.
So didn't Rambam have after you're resurrected, then you'll live a while and then you'll die again or something, like a lot of people?
So far we haven't seen that. The Rambam hasn't discussed what life will be afterwards. The Rambam has another letter just about Tchiyas HaMitim, called the Gel Tchiyas HaMitim. But that we haven't seen yet. So the Rambam says the days of the Messiah, what will be? Two things. There'll be a monarchy, we get a king, and we come back to the land of Israel, and the capital that king has is Zion. V'itgadel Shmo, and this king will become famous, v'yagia l'kitzvei tevel, all around the world people will hear about this king. Yoter v'gadol al mamlechet Shlomo, his kingdom will be even more awesome than King Solomon's kingdom. V'chitoy mo'amim brit shalom, and the nations will make a pact of peace with this king. V'avdu kol arasot l'godel tzitko, and all the nations will become subservient to this king because they'll recognize how righteous he is. V'niflaot yitgalu al yado, and through him awesome things will be revealed. V'chol mi sheyamod alav, and anyone that tries to attack him, yachriteu Hashem yimtzeo biyado, God will cut him off and give him into this king's hand. V'chol psukei ha-mikra meidim al oshro ve'oshreinu bo, and all the verses in the Tanakh testify to how great, how wonderful it's going to be, and how wonderful we're going to have it with this Mashiach. Nothing's going to change in the world. The world, the way we know it, will continue. The only difference is going to be that the Jews will have a kingdom. But the world will continue the course that it's been taking until now. And this is what our sages said. There's no difference between the world the way we know it, our sages said, and the days of the Messiah. The only difference is that the Jews will not be subservient to the nations. There will be those who are stronger, those who are weaker. That's going to remain in the times of the Mashiach. The only difference is going to be that it's going to be much easier to make a living in those days. That's why people want to say today is those days. Today, it's very easy to make enough to eat. We want more. We want to be able to have a higher living standard. But for a person today to live in the comfort like a king lived 1,000 years ago isn't difficult. You don't have to be a king today. You have running water. No one had that. We live with comforts today that we take for granted, that in comparison to the world the way it's been known for the last few thousand years, we're all living like kings. So that's why some want to say, yeah, these are the days of the Mashiach. This is exactly this description. The world will continue the way we know it, but things will be much easier. A person does a small job and already gain a lot from it. That's what our sages said. The land of Israel will give forth loaves of bread and ready-made clothes. So that's easily understood about today. No one spins wool today. You don't have people plowing and harvesting and winnowing and threshing. You want a loaf of bread, you pay 2 shekel. You get a loaf of bread, 3 shekel. That's the concept that the land of Israel gives forth loaves of bread and ready-made clothing. That people don't have to work like they once upon a time had to work to get a piece of clothing. You go down the street today. On any given day, you see in the garbage good clothing. People throw them out, they put them on the garbage, and they say, whoever wants can take it. All the time we find that people throw out shoes, clothing, stuff that no one was able to make, to attain 100 years ago is being thrown out today. When we say that a person found something, so what we mean is that it's something that's available in abundance. We say so and so found bread that was baked and food that was cooked. Doesn't mean literally, says the Rambam. When people read this Gemara, they think that in the days of the Messiah, you'll plant wheat and the ground will give forth ready-made bread. Rambam says that's not what it means. When it says that the land will give forth bread and clothing, fancy clothing, it means that it will be in abundance. And I'll prove it, says the Rambam. He says, we see from the verses say that the non-Jews, people from foreign nations, will come and they'll harvest our crops, they'll work for us. So it seems like there will be a harvest, there will be crops to harvest, there will be work in the days of the Messiah. And again, you could easily apply that to nowadays. All the menial jobs are given to people who are not Jewish. I mean, it's rare that you'll find a Jew doing something, working in the field. You don't see that today. They bring Ethiopians, from Thailand. They bring from all over the world. People, because the average person here in Israel, a Jew can get a job that's better paid. The people who are doing the work in the fields aren't making anything near what a person is making if he's working here in the city. So the pasuk says that we're going to have foreigners working the fields, and that's also you could apply that to today. ולפיכך כעס החכם הזה שאמר את הדברים הללו על תלמידו בעת שלא הבין בדבריו את העניין הזה וחשב שהדברים כפשוטן. And that's why the wise man, he's referring to Rabbi Gamliel, he was upset at his student when his student didn't understand this, and he thought it means literally that the ground will give forth bread, you'll plant seeds and what will grow will be ready-made bread. And when he saw that the student was foolish enough to understand it literally, he answered him the way, according to the level that the student could understand, but he didn't really give him a clear answer. He told him, yeah, 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 the ground was good for its ready-made bread, right? Because that was what he was thinking. So he said, okay, you don't begin to understand what's going on. So fine, so stay with your understanding. And I'll prove to you that when Rabbi Gamliel said that the land will really give forth ready-made bread, he wasn't telling him the truth. That our sages taught us about the verse, don't answer a fool like his foolishness. You have to, each person, the verse says, so what's the great benefit about the days of the Messiah? He shenanuach mishibud malchuyot harsha'a. That the Jewish people will attain a period where they could rest from the toils of being under foreign nations. Ha'otzeret baden melasot tov. That until now the Rambam says we couldn't perform, we couldn't be good people the way we should, because we were subservient to the nations. V'talbe'adat, there'll be a lot of understanding in the world. Kmo she'amar k'mana aretz te'at Hashem, the land will be filled with the knowledge of God. V'yifsiku hakravot v'milchamot, there will no longer be wars. Unfortunately, we don't see that yet. There will no longer be battles and wars. Kmo she'amar lo yisa goyel goy cheret, one nation will not take up arms against another nation. Again, people, when Russia fell down and they started converting their tanks into fire trucks, that a tank is built so it's fireproof, so there was a period initially where they started converting their tanks into fire trucks, that the tanks could enter a fire and put it out. They could enter a forest fire, they could enter fires and that's what initially they were talking about. And then the plans changed, and Russia again became nuclear power. It maintained its nuclear strength and is still producing tanks, etc. The people were hoping that that's the fulfillment of this prophecy, that we reach a point where nations won't lift the sword to one another. Whoever will be in those days will be able to attain a great wholeness. Through that wholeness, he will attain the world to come. And many want to say that's our generation. In our generation, you want to learn Torah, it's very easy to learn Torah. It's no generation had it as easy as we have it today. We have a lot of things that we want. We take for granted all the blessings that we have, but the truth is that we have it very easy. Once upon a time, you have to go fetch wood to make a fire. Today, you turn on a radiator. You need to cook. You have a mixer. You have a blender. You have a washing machine. You have running water. You turn on the gas. You have a fire. We have it much easier than any generation before us, and yet we have no time. People have all this blessing and they still don't have time to learn. So we're given the potential, we have blessing, and the Rambam says the great blessings of the time of the Mashiach is that people can attain a wholeness. It is feasible. V'amashiach yamut, and the Messiah will die. V'imloch bno uven bno, and his son and his grandson will rule. V'kvar bier Hashem et moto, and God already explained to us his death. Amar lo yichev lo yarutz ad yasim baretz mishpat. God described his death, that he won't finish his job, he won't die till he puts justice on the earth. V'tatmid malchuto zman rav mod, and his kingdom will last a long time. V'gam yarichu chayei bnei adam, and people's lives will become much longer. People have longevity. Ki be'ader ha'deagot v'atzarot yalchu ha'chaim, because when you have less to worry about and when you have less problems, so you have a longer life. That's also people want to say today. We're encountering that people are living much longer than they ever lived before. Ve'en ze muzal she'tatmid malchuto alfei shanim, and it isn't strange that this Mashiach will have a kingdom that lasts thousands of years. There's a source where our sages say that the days of the Messiah will last 7,000 years. Those of you who were here 2 weeks ago on Sunday when we discussed the Sun Beliot, that the whole world is going to last 7,000 years, you see that we have other sources that say that just the days of the Messiah are going to be 7,000 years.
What happens after that?
I don't know. Let's see. We're reading the Rambam.
לפי שהחכמים כבר אמרו שהקיבוץ הנחמד כאשר מתקבץ מעט הוא שיתפרד ואין אנו מתאבים למות המשיח.
and we don't strive for the days of the Mashiach. Look at this, you'll put what man chasim. We don't say, oh, I wish the Messiah were here, so it would be, we'd have a lot of crops to eat, and we'd have a lot of money and a lot of material goods. Look at this, mekavel chasim. We don't say, oh, I'm waiting for the Messiah so I could go horseback riding. Venishte bechle zemer, and I could drink my wine and enjoy good music. Think about it. The halacha says that ever since the destruction of the temple, a person as wealthy as he is cannot act like a king. He cannot wake up in the morning to the music of harps, to have a symphony playing to wake him up, because he can't be so comfortable as to say, I'm okay. The temple is destroyed. How can you behave like you're a king? You're not a king. The temple is destroyed. So you can't go to sleep with music or wake up with music. You can't have a symphony waking up and putting you to sleep. Today, anyone who wants to could have that. You don't have to be a king. You buy a CD, you pop it into the CD player, you turn on the timer. The average person can wake up and go to sleep with music that a few hundred years ago no one could listen to. No one could have the symphony, the quality of music that we have today. So the Rambam says we're not striving. People don't say we wish we were in the times of the Messiah for the material goods. Because it says that's people who are confused. People are confused. They think that's why we want the days of the Messiah. The reason the prophets were coveting to attain the days of the Messiah and the Hasidim always wanted them, because in that time the Tzadikim will be able to reunite. People will behave better and there'll be a lot of wisdom. The Yosher HaMelech, there'll be a king who will be so honest. The Godel Chochmato and his great wisdom, we don't have that yet. The Itkalvuto Livnei Boro, and this king who gets so close to his creator, Kmo Shamar Lo, Beniata, as the verse states, God tells the Mashiach, you are my son. That means you are very close to me, that the Mashiach will be close to God and be close in his performance and understanding of God. The Kiyum Kol Torah Moshe Bli Dagod, and to reach a state where we could fulfill all of the Torah that Moshe taught us without worrying. Velo Pachad, we don't have to be scared. Velo Ones, and we don't have to be forced to leave the Torah of Moshe Tiach. Lo El Medu, Ish Et Reo, etc. Ki Kulam Yedu Otim L'Miktanam Ad Golam. God says, everyone will recognize that I am running the world from the smallest to the biggest. Nasatito Otib Libam, I will give my Torah in their hearts. God says, I'll remove this heart of stone from your heart. And there are many verses like these regarding these points, that in the times of the Mashiach, the world will continue functioning the way it was, but the Jews will be in a better state, and the world will be in a better state, and will recognize God, and it will be much easier to serve God. In this state, we will be able to understand the world to come. You remember where the Rambam began? He said, I'm describing to you spiritual pleasure, something that's so good, and you're not going to understand it. And then the Rambam continues to describe it, and he says, really, you should do everything for the sake of the world to come, but you're not going to do it for that. Really, the main good day is when a person can attain that spiritual growth and get close to his Creator, but you're not on the level to really do that. So the Rambam kept saying, there is such a thing, but you're not going to understand it. It's beyond our grasp. We understand it and get close to understanding it, but in truth, we're not going to understand it. And now the Rambam is saying that when we reach a state of the days of the Mashiach, where things are going to be so good, then people will be able to understand what is Olam Haba. V'atachlit eina ela ha'olam haba. And the whole purpose, says the Rambam, is the world to come. Ulumato yishtadlut, and that's what we're toiling for. ולפיכך היבט זה המנשיג את האמת אל התכלית הסופית והניח כל מה שזולתו ואמר. And that's why the one who's authoring the Mishnah looked at the truth and the final purpose of everything that we're doing, and he began with the Mishnah was saying, כל ישראל יש להם חלק לעולם הבא. All of the Jewish people have a portion of the world to come. ואם ירצו התכלית אין רואי למי שיוצא. And this is where we're going to pick up next week. We're almost finished with the Rambam's introduction to his introduction to the 10th chapter, and we're going towards the 13 principles. But the Rambam has introduced before the 13 principles what is the concept of Tchiyat HaMetim, Olam HaBa, Gan Eden, Geinom, Karet, and now we're holding by the first verse, all the Jews have a portion in the world to come, except for, and then the Rambam will define who are the exceptions. One of them is going to be an apikores, and the Rambam will define what is an apikores and what are the 13 principles that every Jew has to believe in, so he won't be an apikores. So that's where we're going to pick up next week. Let's just review what we saw today. We had seen that Olam Haba is the world to come, spiritual benefit. We had seen that the simple physical benefits that the Torah promises us, the Rambam explained, are for the sake of the performance of the Torah. The Torah, so to speak, is saying, you perform the Torah, I'll help you perform the Torah, and I'll give you the physical good that you need in order to perform the Torah. Where we began today was that the Rambam told us that Gan Eden is something on this planet, something physical, it's a place that you, eventually God will reveal to us where it is, where one can derive a lot of physical benefits. The Rambam went on to explain that Gehenna is not something physical, it's not something someplace, we don't know exactly what it is, but Gehenna is some concept that our sages taught us about. The Rambam went on to tell us that Tchiyat HaMetim, the resurrection of the dead, is something fundamental that we have on tradition from the Torah that Moshe taught us, and that's only going to happen for the Tzaddikim, only the Tzaddikim are going to come back. The question was asked, what do they need to come back? What are they interested in coming back to this world for? So far we're leaving that question hanging. We said the days of the Mashiach are a time where the world will continue the way we know it, only that society will advance so much that it will be easy to make a living, and people will have an easy time getting bread and clothing, and the great benefits of that time is that there will be the great king, the Melech HaMashiach, who will be an honest king and a righteous king, who is close to his creator, and he will guide people in the ways of Hashem, and people will admire him so much that every nation will make a treaty with the Jewish people. The whole difference between the period of the Mashiach and the period that the world had before the Mashiach is that in the period of the Mashiach, the Jewish people will have sovereignty, and they'll have a king, and they'll have the peace to be able to serve their creator and discover his ways. And that's where we left off, that the Olam Haba is the main purpose, says the Rambam, and in the times of the Mashiach, people will be able to better understand the concept of Olam Haba. Yeah, Daniel, I'm with you.
The Rambam is dealing with a lot of spiritual stuff. Is there also deal with the concept of Kedar?
No. The Rambam has not mentioned Gilgul. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Is there only the Tzaddikim will come back? Could you define what Rambam?
Who is a tzaddik? So I would want us to look at Shmona Prakim in the introduction and see the Rambam's definition over there. I want it to be exact. Remind me, we'll try to look at it. Okay? Anything else? Okay.